Backyard Green Films is proud to present this episode of Agriculture with your host, Alara Bowman. Alara and her husband, Rick, travel throughout the land in their travel trailer, which they have nicknamed Bessie, bringing you stories about their travels and the people they meet. They visit farmers, ranchers, and just about anyone who loves putting their hands in the dirt or their feet in stirrups. In those travels, they have gotten to meet some very interesting people. Here's one of those interviews.
Hi, this is Alara. Welcome back to our podcast. Well, it's been particularly exhausting so far in 2024. And I'm not just talking about us, though it has been a bit bumpy around here and tax season's in full swing, so there's that extra bit of fun. What I mean is that everyone I talk to lately seems to be in burnout mode. I'm no different in that regard, and you would figure that now I have two mostly working feet and at least three full weekends of time off in this last month, and you'd think I'd be hitting the ground running. No dice for me on that one, though, and it looks like everyone else is in that same boat so far. Catching the news doesn't help. I went all the way to work in peaceful, radioless silence the other day, and I can't tell you the last time that happened. That said, I'm determined to move past that and go forward and head onward and upward and all of the rest of those uplifting idioms. So in honor of moving forward quickly, for today's podcast, I'm not going to talk about the oldest known literary example of selective breeding that I might be able to name. I won't talk about where the legend of this breed of sheep comes from, and I particularly won't talk about how in that region right now there are entire peoples in serious conflict, as opposed to a teenager's disagreement with his potential in-laws, which was also part of the original story here. Instead, I'll just say, this is one bitchin'-looking sheep. The Jacob sheep is a fluffy pile of wool that's white with brown spots, or maybe brown with white spots. Okay, no, that's not true, I don't think, because they call it a piebald, which means the dark is the background part and the white are the spots on top, if I understand the term correctly. They also usually sport what we call a badger face, which means that they have a wide white racing stripe right down the front of their face, from the tip of their nose to their ears. And to top it off, this breed wasn't just satisfied with having standard horns like the rest of the crowd. Sometimes it only has one set, but most often two, and even sometimes three whole sets, which spring from their skulls like dandelions after a rain. We have a Jacob's American version over here, but the interview you'll hear today was not only a really quick tailgate moment, it was also one of my favorite conversations in all the time we've been doing this. Sometimes you meet people who really know their stuff, and the well-spoken gentleman loading Jacob sheep into his little trailer at the Kilnsea show last September in England was one of those. By the way, sometimes organizations have a zippy personality as well, and the Jacob Sheep Society in the UK seems to be one of those. I took a quick gander at their Facebook page, and they seem to be a bit of a riot. The links are included in our intro page if you want to see some lovely pics of their board members, good sports all around, and some pretty darn cute lambs. Apparently those spots come in at a young age. We've brought you a conversation with a breeder on the U.S. side of the pond. Remember Karen from Bidewee Farm in Oregon? Anyway, the sheep she might have on her farm are a bit more like the kind you might read about in Genesis. Over here, they're what we call unimproved for the most part, with a bit more going on in the spot and the horn area. In the U.K., all things sheep have had a bit more time to get selected, among other things, so they look a teeny bit more British. There's definitely a difference on the dandelion sprout thing across the pond, that's for sure. In any case, British or American, the Jacob sheep is one you're never going to easily forget. I hope you enjoy our tailgate conversation with the very learned Clive Richardson, field officer for the Jacob Sheep Society. Clive not only spends his summer days standing on the backside of his towing vehicle in Kilnsea answering questions for curious colonials, but he's also an active ambassador for the society all across Britain. He's also written more than a few books, too. I have high hopes that we'll grab him for more conversation about that on our next hop across the pond. Our thanks again to Clive. What a truly interesting man. And thanks to that lovely you. Thank you, too. Thank you. Okay, so life's still pretty fun, even if it is bumpy. Here's Clive.
Introduce yourself, please.
Yes, my name is Clive Richardson. I'm from Cumbria, across in the north of England, and I've been breeding Jacob sheep for about 40 years. And I do most of the major shows with them up and down the country. And I've just had a very good day today with my shearling ewe, who was champion and has been champion the last five shows that I've had her out.
There's a gorgeous beast right posing for us right here in front.
Yes, that's her right at the front here.
Now, the thing I came up to ask you about was that this Jacob is very different than the Jacob American sheep. Tell me a little bit about the differences.
Yes, they all came from the same source. But the breed standard in America is slightly different, that the markings they allow are looser than we would allow here. But I think one of the reasons for that possibly is I have a friend in Virginia who breeds Jacob sheep, and the problem that he has is finding fresh stock because there's nothing locally and the distances to travel are huge. Whereas here, of course, we can travel from one end of the country to the other within the day quite easily, and that makes a big difference and gives you access to a lot more bloodlines.
It does, and with something like the Jacob sheep, if you have a Jacob's American sheep that is markedly different, you can't necessarily go to England for your genetic material without influencing your breed, correct?
No, that's right. That's right. And it happens with all breeds. In different countries, people have their preferences and their breed standard is different. That's what they like in America, that's what we like here. They may be right, we may be right. That's just how it goes.
Now, it's not just the markings on the feet. I've seen the Jacobs in the United States with six horns often.
Yes. The breed standard in this country is quite clear. They have to either have two horns or four horns. Multiple horns over that are not allowed, and neither are polled sheep. So my flock now is entirely two-horned, because I personally prefer the symmetry of two horns, but that's just a personal preference.
Yeah, the Jacob's American looks like it is like you've scattered wild flower seed out, and they sort of sprout everywhere.
Yeah, they do. That's absolutely so.
Now your ram, is that the ram in the back I'm
seeing?
Yes, it is. Yes, he's got a beautiful curl to his horn.
Yes, usually by the time they get to a year old, he's only a year old, they're starting to get the second curl of the horn. That's usually about as far as it goes. And that's his daughter, the ewe lamb here. She was January born. She's a big lamb. She was a single as well. And last Saturday, I was at a chipping show in Lancashire. This ewe was champion, and the ram at the back was reserve champion. And the two of them together won the reserve interbreed pairs championship. That's the second best pair on the show field, which I was delighted about.
Now we were talking about the fiber festivals earlier. How does the wool of this breed of sheep compare with other breeds? Is it more coarse? Is it longer? I'm looking at the you could bounce a penny
off
of that.
Yes, she's almost spongy. You know, she's got so much bounce in the wool. The reason we like a fleece like that is because if it's wet weather, the rain will just run off her, it won't make any difference. If the fleece is more open, they end up with a parting down the middle, it lets the rain into the skin, and they're not as protected against the weather. So what we call a tight fleece, if I can just...
You see the layers there.
You can feel... Yes,
it's... May I?
Yes, absolutely, yes. You can feel her quite dense fleece.
Incredibly dense fleece.
She will be protected against cold weather, rain, but also against the heat in summer. That gives quite a bit of insulation.
My finger's going in up to here.
Yes.
On that fleece.
She was clipped in January. She was clipped early for the show season.
Yeah, she's. That's quite a bit.
It is. Yes.
Now is this a softer wool, or is it more like for things like blankets, or would you say maybe we would do things like carpets?
They vary a bit in wool quality. I would say that the shearling ewe has a slightly coarser fleece than would be ideal. This ewe here has a nicer, she's got a slightly softer fleece. They just vary within the breed. I don't think you can generalize too much on that one.
Can you say anything as to the nature of the animal? Because she seems very calm, but she shows a lot. So are they all somewhat that somewhat like this?
Funny,
past calm and straight into hello, how
yes,
are you?
It is. I find that two-horned sheep are generally quieter than four-horned sheep. Now, why that is, I don't know. These are obviously shown a lot, and so they're so used to the show circuit and all the rest of it, and they're quite used to strangers coming up and looking at them.
Mm.
So, no, they're certainly not wild.
No, they are not. I do know that some sheep have a tendency to be a little bit more, let's just say you could work with them quite a bit in order to be able to have them be
somewhat
I don't want to use the word tame, because there's nothing that's ever tame.
No.
But
I think if they are quiet like this, they show better, because they're not disturbed by people around them, all the noise of a show. They just take it in their stride.
Now, it's my understanding that the Jacobs in general, and I don't know if the English and or the UK and the American are the same thing, but this is one of the oldest sheep breeds in the world, actually, is mentioned biblically, they say.
Is that
correct?
Well, I wrote the book on the Jacob breed for the Jacob Sheep Society when it was their 50th anniversary. And because I already write books, I researched it very carefully to find out where they came from. And it would appear that although the first reference to them, written references, is in Genesis 13:31, the story of Jacob, which is where they get their name
spotted
from.
Spotted sheep.
That's right. That his payment was to be all the sheep that are ring straight, which meant spotted and speckled. But it would appear that originally the breed started in Mongolia and travelled east to China, and then on the Silk Road, where they were used for fighting, the fighting rams. It was a sport at the time.
I never even heard of such a thing.
Yes, they did. And they still do it in China now. It's still common in China, unfortunately, now.
Unfortunately.
Yes. So they were, the black and white coloration was quite common in a number of types at the time. And it appears that they were taken from what we now call the Holy Land. I mean, that name really was generated for the Crusades in the 11th century. But they were taken originally from the Holy Land into Egypt along the north coast of Africa, where the Moors took them into the Iberian Peninsula in 711 AD. That's the first reference we've got to them. And then they were brought into this country about 1745. And that's where they started.
Wow, now that's quite a bit of... How does one go about finding that? I mean, that's quite a bit of information that you have to source. And you can say, well, gee, I'm looking for spotted sheep anywhere. But, I mean, how do you document that kind of thing?
I used all sorts of references. I started with the Bible, because that was the first reference. And then contacted the Ministry of Agriculture in a number of different countries to ask about black and white sheep, and then went through old inventories of stock, wills, anything like that. They were often referred to as Spanish sheep, and the first reference to them being called Jacob sheep wasn't until 1860 at Woodhouse Wentworth in South Yorkshire, when they had a flock there and they were referred to as Jacob's sheep. That was the first reference to the name. But in old inventories, it was difficult to tell what were Jacob sheep and what were Merino sheep, because they just called them all Spanish sheep, and you didn't have a particular breed. They were just a type. Anything that came from Spain was called a Spanish sheep.
Yeah,
So it was difficult to tie it down. You just had to keep cross-referencing the things. But, I mean, there are illustrations of Jacob sheep on the tombs in Egypt. So we know the date when those were done, and we also know when the sheep were taken into Egypt originally. So there was a lot of trade between countries, and the word pecuniary, meaning financial, actually comes from the Latin word pecus, which meant grazing animals, because before you had currency, they were the grazing animals. So we know that, for example, a metal cauldron would be to the value of X number of sheep, because that was the way they did. That was the reference value at that time.
Interesting. That could be any sheep. I mean, when you look at it now, there's a large difference in value between one animal and the other, within the same breed.
Yes, it is.
Yep. So tell me, in Britain here, in England, since wool is not as valued as
No, it isn't.
Is this considered a meat sheep?
Yes. I would say, yes, a meat sheep and a dual-purpose sheep. wool and meat.
And and a third purpose, which is pet, right? Because
this is absolutely. Yes.
This is like a dog.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She loves attention.
Yeah, she's a beautiful animal, but wow.
Check her under there. She really loves that.
Yes. Hello. Hello. Beautiful.
When she comes to stand in the ring like that, if you tickle her under her chin, she will stand there quite quietly.
So now you mentioned the organization. Tell me a little bit about that. Are you involved with that organization quite a bit?
Yes, the Jacob Sheep Society was formed in 1969 when the breed was facing extinction in this country. And the reason was because if you cross a Jacob with any other breed, the lambs are invariably black, so you've lost the baby with the bathwater. So the society was started then. I've been chairman. I'm currently the national field officer for the society. And I do a number of other jobs as well. I produce the magazine for them, things like that. They're a breed I just enjoy. I think they're a tremendous breed. They're very distinctive. And I've just had a lot of pleasure from them.
Yeah, they are a lovely sheep to look at. And they're not very, very, very large, it seems like.
No.
So I would think they're a little bit more manageable. If someone wanted some beautiful sheep,
yes.
They're manageable.
Yes.
Yeah.
I always say to people, if you think of starting with a new breed, these are ideal. They're very hardy, easy lambing, no problem sheep.
Good mothers?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
Because some are and some are not. How many lambs do you get per year? You just about one or?
No, I would say they generally had twins.
They do?
Yes. This year I've had a couple with triplets. It's not unusual. I've had them with quads before. And they've actually reared quads with help. Mm. I've just twice a day bottled the lambs, but bottled all of them, so they all stayed on the ewe. And that was much more natural for them, and they coped with it fine.
So if one wanted to find out more information about the society, where would they go? Do you have a website or
We've
social media?
We've got a website, Jacob Sheep Society, and you'll find lots of information on there, anything that you'd want at all.
Okay, and there's very definitely a difference between Jacobs and Jacobs American.
Yes,
so
there is.
So the Sheep Society website is UK, correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Yeah. Just to be sure. And then I guess the last thing I would very much like to ask you is, do you have a farm website or contact information? If people looked at these sheep and said, I would like to get one of those, where would they go?
Yes, we do. On our website, it does have breeders, details of breeders, where they can go to, or you can contact one of the officers of the society, myself, the field officer, and we would guide people to where they might go if they wanted some stock to start a small flock.
Lovely. Wonderful. Well, thank you for taking a moment when you're loading up the sheep.
No, you're very welcome.
Oh, they're just striking sheep and absolutely lovely.
Good.
I would love to speak with you at some point in the future, I think, because you definitely are a historian and this is a sheep with history.
Yes. No, yes. No, it would do. Well, my name's Clive Richardson, as I say, and I'm the field officer. So if you want any information or can help in any way, don't hesitate to get in touch with me.
If you liked our podcast, please subscribe. This is how we keep going. And please ask your friends to join us. Please also feel free to post any comments or questions to our social media sites. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook under Backyard Green Films. Thanks again for listening.
I'd like to thank Clive for taking the time to speak with us while we were visiting the Kilnsey Fair in England. If you'd like to find out more information about the Jacob Sheep, please visit their website at jacobsheepsociety.com or their Facebook page. We'll also add the links in our bio. We'll see you next time with another adventure. You have been listening to Agriculture with your host, Alara Bowman. Please tune in for upcoming episodes from our travels. I'm Rick Bowman, your behind-the-scenes editor. Until next time. This has been a presentation of Backyard Green Films Productions, all rights reserved, copyright 2023.